Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we have two verses, actually, 11 and 12, Canto 4, Chapter 28. We have only 12 on the board, so I'm just going to read word after word 11, and then 12 will go together, because you don't have available here. 11 is Baya, you can repeat, Namno, Grajo, Bharata, Prajvana, Pratyupashchita, Dada, Itam, Purim, Krishnam, Bratu, Priyachikshishaya, Priyachikrishaya, Tasyam, Sandahyamanyam, Sapaura, Saparichada, Kautumbika, Kutumbinya, Upatapyata, Upatapyata, Sanvaja, Tasyam Sandahyamanyayam, Tasyam Sandahyamanayam, Sapaurak Saparichada, Sapaurak Saparichada, Kautumbika Kutumbinya, Kautumbika Kutumbinya, Upatyapyata Sanjava, Upatyapatya Sanvaja, Tasyam Sandahyamandhyayam, Sapaurak Saparichada, Kautumbika Kutubinya, Upatapyata Sanvaja. Kautumbika Kutubinya, Upatapyata Sanjaya. Kautumbika Kutubinya, Upatapyata Sanjaya. Mataji. Manya manya. Saparak saparichada. Kautumbika. Upatapyata Sanjaya. Tasyam Sandhyamanyam, Saparak Saparichada, Kautumbikam Kutubinyam, Sanvayam. Thank you. Baya Namna, of Baja or fear. Agraja, elder. Brata, brother. Prajavar, named Prajvara. Pratyupashtita, being present there. Dadaha. Set fire. Tam to death. Purim city. Krishnam wholesale. Bratu his brother. Priya Chikshaya in order to please. Tasyam when that city. Sandahyamanyam. Sandahyamanayam, sorry, was ablaze. Sapaura, along with all the citizens. Saparichada, along with all servants and followers. Kautumbika, the king having so many relatives. Kutubinya, along with his wife. Upatyapyata, began to suffer the heat of the fire. Sa Anvaya, along with the sentence. So the text 11. Under the circumstances, the elder brother of Javanaraj, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother, whose other name is Fear itself. And text number 12. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Puranjana thus became very unhappy. Purport for text 11. According to the Vedic system, a dead body is set on fire, but before that, there is another fire, or fever, which is called Prajvara or Vishnujvara. Medical science verifies that when one's temperature is raised to 107 degrees, a man immediately dies. This Prajvara or high fever at the last stage of life places the living entity in the midst of blazing fire. And purport for text number 12. There are many parts of the body, the senses, the limbs, the skin, the muscles, blood, marrows, etc. All these are considered here figuratively as sons, grandsons, citizens, and dependents. When the body is attacked by the Vishnujvara, the fiery condition becomes so acute that sometimes one remains in coma. This means that the body is in such severe pain that one becomes unconscious and cannot feel the misery is taking place within the body. Indeed, the living entity becomes so helpless at the time of death that although unwilling, he is forced to give up the body and enter another. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that man may, by scientific advancement, improve the temporary living conditions, but that he cannot avoid the pangs of birth, old age, disease, and death. These are under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, taught the agency of material nature. A foolish person cannot understand this simple fact. Now people are very busy trying to find petroleum in the midst of the ocean. They are very anxious to make provisions for the future petroleum supply, but they do not make any attempts to ameliorate the conditions of birth, old age, disease, and death. Thus, a person in ignorance, not knowing anything about his own future life, is certainly defeated in all his activities. One more time, text 12. Under the circumstances, the elder brother of Javanaraj, known as Prajvara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother, whose other name is Fear itself. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Puranjana thus became very unhappy. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutta Shimati Jai Padak Swami Tinami Namo Charya Padaya Nitaika Purdaya Gaura Kata Damodaya Nagara Kamatarini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishta Bhutta Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinami Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharini Vishesha Shinivadi Pashadilesha Tarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I would like today to discuss about a few very important points which we can learn and accept in our life from those two verses. This is one very exciting and interesting part of Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly that story about King Puranjan. And it's actually like some kind of manual for how we supposed to behave and how we not supposed to behave. Everything is there. It's amazing. It's unbelievable that on the way how Narada Muni explained the whole story, how he narrated the whole story, and you remember the whole story started and King Puranjan wanted to satisfy all his senses. He basically was born in very good family and he had all different varieties of materials for sense enjoyment. But he wanted to find the perfection in happiness. So he started to travel all around the world. He was visiting different places. He was trying to enjoy in different ways. And he was not so lucky. He could not find the perfect happiness. He could not release himself from miseries of material world. Everywhere was almost perfect because he had everything, but never was absolutely perfect. Finally, he came to Bharatavarsha or India, and on the south west of Himalayas, he found one beautiful city, old in gold, diamonds and emeralds, some of those cities which now modern scientists finally they're finding with their satellite equipment, on the bottoms of oceans here and there, and they finally figure out that those cities really, was present on the planet Earth, many, many years ago, and it was really perfect in great shapes and conditions. And in one of those cities, he entered there actually, and there was a wonderful trees around, the beautiful animals. Animals was not attacking another people. Animals was, tigers and lions and all small animals and bears. They was all living in a perfect happiness with the people, in perfect peace. So finally, the King Puranjan said, "Wow, this is something I never saw before in my life." And he, until he was walking there, he met a wonderful, beautiful woman, a queen, surrounded by her followers, many male followers and female followers. It was like hundreds and thousands of people around her trying to protect her, to be with her. And she was of the perfect beauty. She was, dressed wonderful with the perfect, tilak and all the stuff. So he decided to approach her, right? And then he did that, and they start on a wonderful way. They explain each other that actually they have need to share some wonderful time together, and they became a husband and wife. Now, the whole story about King Puranjan is actually a story about us. It's a story about our life. King Puranjan was living with his queen for 100 years in that perfect city until death didn't knock on the door. So it was great, great, great for some time. And then after that, another phase start, how is always happening in the life. And the whole that story actually was Narada Muni narrated as a reminder for all of us what we have to expect, how we should behave and how we should not behave as well. So there is explanation that King Puranjan was actually he was following his wife. Wife is a representative of material intelligence in this story. So he was following his wife. Whatever she was doing, he was doing as well. If she is going left, he will go left with her. If she is going right, he will go right with her. If she's taking some food, he will take the same food. If she's smelling some flowers, he will smell exactly the same flowers. He was trying to follow his material mind on one perfect way. And sometimes this is safe zone for some people who are not in so high level of consciousness. Because in one day after many, many years, he decided to, let's say, disobey to his material mind, and he went to the forest and he wanted to hunt some animals alone. And there is explanation that his hunting in the forest is actually when we decide not to follow regulations, material regulations. And he, you know, it's same like when we have, you know, there is a marriage and then we go outside and we are trying to find the more and more sense enjoyment. There is written, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that actually none of us, none of those who are in Grihastha Ashram and outside of Grihastha Ashram, they're not happy with only one woman or with only one man. We always have tendency, material tendency, to enjoy more, to have more of the opposite around us or whatever is attracting us. So this is our nature, this is our material nature, and King Purjat, he was trying to do his best to find the absolute happiness in the material world. And Narada Muni, he clearly stated in 4.25.4, Shayastvam Kanbadan Rajan, that actually our primary goal should be to release ourselves from all miseries of the world and to achieve the level of perfect happiness. Yes, this is the goal. And it's confirmed in the Shastras. Some devotees, they believe we have to suffer. This is not true. We have to find the perfect happiness. This should be our goal in the life. But perfect happiness we cannot find in material enjoyment, unfortunately for us. I think we are starting to figure out slowly that it's not possible. There is some kind of happiness in material world. It's true. But that's not a perfect happiness. That's one short temporary happiness, and it disappears very fast. Srila Prabhupada mentioned it in one verse, actually, in Srimad Bhagavatam, that it's same like when child play with fire. The small child, it's coming up to the fire, and when touch fire, it's not that, okay, you're just a small child, there is no pain for you. No, child will also feel the pain. And it will learn the lesson. Okay, I should not touch fire because it's very painful. So the same way in also conditioned souls, you know, it should be enough for us to be intelligent enough. One time when we touch the fire, one time when we play with material energy a little bit more serious, like Purjan Prabhu went to the forest and he did, you know, a little bit of freedom, that to remember and to learn the lesson and to never repeat that again. No, unintelligent people, they are doing that again and again. And they again and again feel the same pain. And that's not intelligent. Same like when you know in Africa they have a special way of hunting monkeys. I don't know if they had in India, but I was reading and I saw even some videos that the way is that they cut a hole in the ground and then they put banana inside, so monkey come, hole is very tight, and monkey put his hand, take banana but cannot come out. But he doesn't want to release banana. He wants to keep banana, of course. And then he stays there, the hunters come, they take monkey and they take him in New York Zoo or I don't know where. I hope they're not cutting them for breakfast or lunch. Anyway, the point is that we have to be more smart than that. Otherwise we are on the level of animals. That's a fact. Whoever is repeating the same mistake again and again, he's not different than animals. And in the next life, it's good chance that he will be on such a level. But when sometime, even 2-3 times, some mistake happen, if person learn the lesson, then it's possible to change. If person figure out and understand that he actually is still trying to find the perfect happiness, then he will be on the right path of the perfect happiness. So after that situation in the forest, when King Purjan came back to the kingdom, you know, everybody came to him and told him, "Oh, dear king, your queen is just lying on the public place, almost without the cloth, and he's like a crazy there, and please come, please help her." He came and he figured out that actually it was his mistake, not her mistake. And then he tried to help her. You know, he started talking with her, she started massaging her feet, and again they became in the perfect shape. So the point is, if we want to control our mind, we first has to respect, that's the first level, he has to respect our material mind. What does it mean? We have to become a religious. That means to start following rules and regulations. If we are brahmachari, if we are grihastha, if we are vanaprast, or if we are sannyas, we have properly to follow our ashram. Properly to follow our ashram and all regulations which are connected with that. Otherwise, we are just cheaters. And with that, everything else follows. That means doubts, that means miseries, that means we don't understand why we cannot achieve happiness. We don't understand why people around us are not so happy when they have everything. And that's really natural, because they don't have anything. You see, material, now you have the new age preaching, let's say. You have people who are talking so much about positive thinking, the power of positive thinking. And they always mention the five different areas which a person has to develop to be happy, to be perfectly happy. So one is physical health, the other one is mental health, the third one is spiritual health, the fourth one is financial health, and the fifth one is social health, means relationships. If you have a perfect balance of those five, you're perfectly happy. So they're trying, they make a large amounts of money for life coaching and start trying to teach people that this is the perfect happiness, this is something what we have to achieve in our life. If you have a lot of friends and they're happy with you, you're happy with them. If you have some spirituality, if you have money, if you have a perfect health, you're doing yoga and you have, you know, you have everything. You have ideal perfect life. They're close actually, but it's not exactly like that. Because even ancient yoga is teaching us there are still those five areas. But you see, when yogis meditate, this is spirituality and it's always connect with another fingers. Sometimes yogi meditate putting those two fingers together, sometimes those two. So we have to be the ideal friends, ideal family members. We have to be, you know, good with another people, and then people will be good with us and we will be fulfilled with social part. Yes, we have to work if we are grihasthas. Even brahmachari has to eat. You cannot say you're brahmachari, you're not working for money, close your mouth, don't eat for next 1 year. No, brahmachari has to take, right? You have breakfast and it's natural need. Sannyasi also. We need to be mentally healthy. You know, sometimes we have a wonderful devotees, but then some problem happen on the mental level and the whole, you know, the wind start taking person in another way, you know, and you have to go through some purifications. But if you remain, the mental health means that you're doing things which you like to do. Mental health means you have time for yourself. Mental health means doing some interesting stuff which are not in contradiction with the spiritual, principles, with the principles of religion. And then of course spiritual health means the serious Krishna consciousness. That's the recipe. But whatever we are doing, the spirituality has to be there. Otherwise, if finger is not connected, this is what we don't call yoga. This is not yoga. This is something, this is again material enjoyment. Doesn't have everything with the spiritual life. And people can try and again, but they will fail again and again until they don't figure out that spirituality has to be number one, the first in line. And then everything else will come together. So, when Narada Muni started talking, Srila Prabhupada explained that Puranjana means one who enjoys in the body. That's allegory. So the King Puranjana is allegoric story. It's true, but it's allegoric. That means us, That means our life. That means our present, past, and future situation. And according to Vedic instructions, according to Vedic scriptures, there are two parts of human activities. One is Pravritti Marg, and another one is Nivritti Marg. This is exactly what we discussed last 10 minutes. Pravritti Marg means all fruitive activities. Everything what we are doing to make our nine gates happy. Our eyes, our ears, our nose, our tongue or mouth, then our genitals, and the nine gate what is in the back. Whatever we are doing to satisfy those nine gates, this is what we call fruitive activities, and this is what we call Pravritti Marg. And Nivritti Marg means spirituality, means to go higher, means to go beyond those nine gates, means to do something for ourselves. In other words, means Krishna consciousness. What does it mean, perfection? That's a very interesting subject, because sometimes I see devotees are not so happy with the results. You're trying to do something, and you're trying, but things are not going so well. And then we become unhappy. Why is this thing happening to me? Again and again. What I'm doing wrong? This is because we have the wrong concept of perfection. Perfection doesn't mean that results should be perfect. Perfection means that our attempt has to be perfect. The way how we are trying to do something has to be that we are trying to give our best. So when we are giving our best, that's perfection. It doesn't matter what will be the result on the end, because the result depends on Krishna. Attempt depends on us. So our attempt should be perfect. That means I should try to give my best to achieve something, which I believe is my way, my path. And then on Krishna depends, am I going to achieve results which I expect or not? And those expectations sometimes can lead us in the wrong direction, because we expect something, things are not happening how we expected, and then we are disappointed. But if I expect and I'm going to give my best to achieve that result, and I give my best, I'm going to be happy. And this is devotional service. Devotional service doesn't mean achieving a result. Devotional service means trying my best to achieve a result. This is the perfect devotional service, and this is actually dasa anudasa, because we are just servants, right? We are not controllers. It's not possible to control the result. So we should not be attached with the result, because on the end of the day, result will be always something what is something, it's going to be something what we need. It's going to be sent in from Krishna. Sometime our very close relatives die, pass away. Sometime a very severe way that thing happened. Sometimes somebody left us suddenly. Sometimes we have a serious disease. Old age is full of suffering. Jara, there is explanation here. What is Jara? Jara means all different sufferings in old age. Srila Prabhupada mentioned in one verse that actually it's going to be a surprise for some of you, but it's true. It's not possible to advance so much in old age in Krishna consciousness. It's a fact. Even I'm going to tell you which verse is there, so you can go to read again and again. 4:27:20. The last part is Srila Prabhupada mentioned that person cannot advance in Krishna consciousness in old age due to invalidity of old age. Means that we have so much suffering in old age, then we can just maintain our Krishna consciousness. And then we can maintain high level of consciousness. And then when we leave our body, we are going to be ready. That's old age. Many of us, we have philosophy, okay, let's enjoy now until I am young, and I can go around, and I can do things here and there. And then when I become older, then I will become serious in Krishna consciousness. That's a pure illusion. Actually, we have to be serious when it's time to be serious, when we are younger. That's why Srila Prabhupada did so much attempt to help us. He was giving sannyas to children, almost, devotees who are 19, 20, 21 years old. He was giving so much mercy. He knew that some karma will come on his back, that he will suffer because of that. But he was trying just to make us serious. He didn't have so much time to achieve that. And that's why he was just giving unlimited mercy, Even if somebody thinks that that was maybe a mistake, it was not a mistake, it was perfect. So the point is that we have to become serious now. Anytime we make decision and we have the perfect attempt to achieve that, we have perfection. If we said, okay, from 15 to 25, I will enjoy a little bit because I'm young. Amishes, they have that kind of philosophy. They're very serious later, but when the children are young, they allow them to drive a fast cars, to do different stuff, everything. And then when they're 18, they're peaceful, and then they go and they drive their horses and everything else. That's interesting. That's a nice concept. But the point is actually when a person is 15 and 16 years old, it's already creating his own path. It will create the needs for the future. It will create the line of goals for the rest of his life. So if my goal is just to enjoy when I'm 16 years old, even when I'm going to be 48, my goal will be to enjoy. That's why we have to teach our children also how to think properly. There is the subject, Thinking Skills, that Cambridge is offering. It's very interesting. They're teaching you how to think. We have to teach also our kids how to think properly. Otherwise, we're not going to have happy children. They're going to be always, in two different sides, in disbalance. Another thing, when you're 20 to 35 or 40 years old, you're just thinking about money. How to make money, I'm becoming a grihastha, I have to, otherwise without money I'm not going to be happy, my children are not going to be happy, my wife not going to be happy. We're just mostly thinking about financial part. And that's actually a very interesting age where we're supposed to think about spirituality a lot, about the right questions. Sometimes even paradox happens when we are young, we are more serious in spiritual term than when we are becoming older. When we are young, we are thinking, oh, what is all this around us? Oh, I'm not this body and everything. Then when we become 50, 55 years old, I'm thinking, oh, this Mercedes-Benz is so interesting and so nice. All those tires are good and all those stuff. It's a paradox. It's a paradox. It's interesting. Of course, in the beginning, we were asking the right question, but we have to continue to ask those questions ourselves again and again, because the more serious realization, the more serious answers are coming later, not in the beginning. Beginning is just a special mercy of Krishna, and later is our trial, coming up towards top of the mountain. And see, as we are walking more, we are closer to the top. That's interesting. So, there is, just 2 years ago, there was very interesting research from some Russian scientists. They actually find out if you touch the current, the first 3 milliseconds, you feel the pleasure. And the rest, you feel the pain. Because the first nerve, which is attached when you touch the current, is the nerve of enjoyment. And any enjoyment, anything what you touch in your life, actually, it creates first 3 milliseconds enjoyment. And then the rest is pure pain. So, sometimes what we are trying to do in material world is actually like that, We want to do something and I'm desperate and I'm going to do it right now. And this is something what will make me peaceful or whatever. Then we try to do that and we're going to do this. And then I enjoy maybe for 1 hour or 2 hours or one day. And this is actually those 3 milliseconds. But the rest of that wrong activity is pain. It's coming, a little bit and more and more and more. And at the end of the day, we have a little bit more karma on my back. And I'm supposed to clean karma, not to make the new karma, right? Sometimes even when, devotees are going through those situations. And if we develop habit of the pain, there is one man in Serbia, he's making a big money touching the current. I forget his name, but he's the guy who can turn on the lights and touching. He doesn't have one single, hair on his body, completely. But he's making money like that, showing people that he can turn on light and he can do different stuff. And, he's happy with that. Some people, they're happy with suffering, and that's okay, this is their level. But our level actually should be, even if we have to make one time mistake, to avoid that mistake for the rest of our life and try to achieve perfection. So, From the other side, sometimes it's okay to make mistake, but if we realize that's a mistake, that's not for me actually, then we are again coming back on the right path. There is interesting, very interesting story I heard, short story, Zot Prabhupada Lila Srila Prabhupada pastime, which I just heard a couple of days back, and it was like, it moved some of the cells in my heart. It was quite interesting to hear that. There was one Prabhupada disciple came who had some time spending with Srila Prabhupada. He was the first one putting lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada and making, you know, his 3D, you know, feet, whatever. My English is not, I don't know how you call that. But anyway, the point is that the same day, evening time, they was walking with Srila Prabhupada, and there was one wonderful devotee there in perfect chador. Everything was wonderful. He was always going around watching devotees doing some services, chanting and walking around, and you cannot find one single mistake in him. And then that devotee told Srila Prabhupada, "Oh Srila Prabhupada, this devotee is really big inspiration for all of us. He's a wonderful devotee. He's a Brahmana. He's really born nature of Brahmana." And Prabhupada looked at him and said, yeah, that's great. That's fantastic. And then he stopped for a second and he turned over and said, there was two, three devotees with him. And he said, you know, the real devotee always has to be a little bit crazy. It's a very interesting point. Crazy doesn't mean, you know, what is first on our mind. Crazy means that actually we have to be beyond politeness and nice and tight. When there is a need, we have to give up all this traditional stuff and just to do service, just to surrender to Krishna. That means we have to go beyond the mind. We have to be on the level of natural exchange with Lord. If you read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata, you will never see explanation that Chaitanya was just standing like this and not moving. It was always some exceptional and wonderful behavior which we cannot reproduce, we cannot copy, of course. But we have to go towards that. What does it mean? That means moving mind on the side and trying to work on the nature level which is directly connection with Krishna in our heart. And sometime from the outside, people can think that those things are crazy, but if you are doing the right thing, that's not something what is crazy actually. And you have many examples of that. If now we see Haridas Thakur just walking next to us, chanting his rounds, or Gorkishore Das Babaji trying to hide from, you know, beyond some boat or something, you know, for us that's going to be strange. I'm sure he's going to have MCS case, right? If we don't recognize who is the person. We cannot reproduce that, of course. If I hide there, please report me to the MC. Because, you know, this is something different. But we have to free our mind. That's the point. To free our mind. To go beyond the concepts of religion. We should not be religious. We have to be spiritual. Being religious means following the rules and regulations. Means karma yoga. And that's fantastic. That's great. We have to do that for some time. But then we have to go on the back on the level of bhakti. And bhakti means devotional service. Bhakti means service on one level which we naturally feel and know what we're supposed to do. Of course we have authorities who are supposed to be even on a higher level. They're supposed to guide us to go away, to go out from this material existence. And that's the bhakti yoga. That's the service in the level of pure love. Actually, love has to be the basic. Somebody will leave if somebody is wearing saffron. If somebody is brahmachari or sannyasi, that he should not love. We are mixing that with material love. That's completely wrong concept. Oh, they have to love. They have to love all human beings. They have to love Krishna a lot, even more than grihasthas who are busy loving, you know, kids and wives and husbands and stuff. They have to love everyone. They have to love even their saffron. They have to love their bed. Love is the basic feeling for devotees. You have many Christian monasteries who are based on religion. Everything is pakka there, they live natural life, they're serious in their practicing, you know. But nobody's telling them they have to love. So they're tight and cruel and serious. There is a power there, definitely. They're powerful. But they cannot go beyond maybe Brahmaloka or even not there, you know. It's not possible to go through Brahmajyoti in that stage, because Brahmajyoti we can cross only in the stage of pure love. Because in one moment we have the biggest test. Maya, personification of Maya, is coming in front of us and is challenging us. And if we not pass that, we are not going back to spiritual world. And Maya will challenge us on the way which is the biggest weakness for us. So if we don't have a pure love, if you're not on the stage of pure love, we're going to fail that one. And then we're going boom, like a boomerang, back to the material, you know, level. And we are in Maya again. On higher or lower level of Maya, but Maya is Maya. We cannot compare that. So, I think, you know, there are those two brothers and one sister, actually. One brother is fear, the sister is time coming towards us. The third brother is, you know, the complete material level of existence, something fruitive activity, something what we are trying to achieve again and again. And they are attacking us all the time. Actually, the daughter of time, it's one person which nobody wants to marry. If you read, you will find that. But she desperately wants husband, and she was always trying to take us again and again. And she is attacking our gates, our city. And they have their army. They are not alone, actually. And if we are not careful enough, if we don't have those five snakes strong enough, it will attack us. But what's happened with Narada Muni? She also came to him. She find him. You know, Narada Muni was going from Brahmaloka, coming towards Earth, and the daughter saw him and approached him and said to him, "Oh, you're so wonderful, Brahmacharya. You're so beautiful. You're Naishika. And I need husband. So, you know, I see this as a perfect Krishna's arrangement." But Narada Muni said, "Oh yeah, actually, yeah. Okay, if you said so, it's wonderful." No, he said, "Thank you very much. I really respect you. I appreciate you. But this is not for me. I'm sorry. I'm busy on earth. There's so many souls I need to help, you know, so please. But you can go on, you know, that's another story where he sent her and, you know, he went there." The point is, who doesn't want, who make decision, he will be strong. It's only about making decisions. Being strong, being on the right path is just about making decisions. Sometimes we are weak to make decisions. Okay, I should not eat something what I'm not supposed to eat. It's material life, it is also based on decisions. Sometimes we believe we made decision, but actually we didn't. Sometimes we made the wrong decision. Somebody said, "Okay, there is a deal. I will enjoy a little bit, and I will suffer a little bit, then I will go on a little bit here, and then I will come back here." And there is no compromise. We cannot achieve both, it's not possible. Either one or the other. Of course, it's always combination of those two, spiritual and material. But we have to try to take spiritual as much as we can, as much as our capacity. And this is actually consciousness, self-consciousness. We have to recognize how much is our capacity, how much of spirituality we can take right now. And we have to take it. Not to wait until 55 or 60. We have to take it now. We have to make decision right now. Okay, I want to be serious. I really want to find the answers. I want to find the Krishna. I want to try. And that's perfect. That's perfection. This is only why Narada Muni present King Purijan in the whole story to the rest of the public. Just because of that. To show them that even person who is trying desperately to enjoy for the whole his life, he understood in one point, and he changed. He realized what he's supposed to do. This is only what we have to do. And this is why Prabhupada gave us all this wonderful literature and gave us this place, and you know, I mean, we are on the perfect place to do that. We are in the Mayapur. We are in the Mayapur. We are in the place where Maya is not touching us if we want, if we don't want that. There are not some serious tests if we don't want that. Shiva is here present all the time. He's protecting this place. So if we want, we can be easily spiritual. It only depends on us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande. Hari Hari Bhagavatam.